But from that, we develop what we have. Even the numbers that we use, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the number 0 itself, came from India. And it was introduced to the world and used every day in mathematics. Imagine yourself doing math with the Roman numerals. Imagine yourself doing math with Roman numerals. Imagine yourself having to write the number 4,000, or even 70, 80, 112. You would run out of space. We would be having to chop down even more trees, right? With the zero and with the numbers. What do we call these numbers, the digits that we have, 1, 2, 3, that we know nowadays? You know what we call them? We call them Arabic numerals. We call them Arabic numerals. Algebra, algorithms, calculus, all of that. The word algebra itself, the father of algebra and algorithm was Al-Khwarizmi. Who was Al-Khwarizmi? He's in the 9th century. In the 9th century, he developed what we know as algebra now. And in fact, the word algorithm is a corruption of his name. Al-Khwarizmi, algorithm, is a corruption of his name. And Carly Fiornia, she is a former CEO. She is a former CEO known as the most influential business woman in the, you know, in, during that time, in the year 2000 and in the 2001, 2000 to 2010 and so forth. She was also a CEO of AT&T later on also. She was giving a talk and she said, "In this civilization, the Muslim civilization, was driven more than anything by invention. Its architects designed buildings that defied gravity, and its mathematicians created algebra and algorithm that would enable the building of computers and the creation of encryption." This civilization, what civilization? It was the Muslim civilization. Why? How did it develop so greatly? Because Islam tells us to seek knowledge, and it cares about seeking knowledge. And that's why we have to speak about the Muslim contribution to modern civilization. Because when people speak about Islam, they're always thinking those are backwards people. And then the Muslims, why are we this way? It's because we stop applying the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And our Muslim countries no longer focus on that which is, or prioritize that which needs to be prioritized, as it is done, as it was done by the Prophet Muhammad and taught to us in the Quran and in our religion, Al-Islam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. And when the Muslims apply the Quran, they built the first universities. The oldest university in the world is in Morocco, Jamia or University of Qayrawan. It's the oldest university in the world, in Tunisia, North Africa. But in that time, they called them Al-Maghrib, the whole area. Tunisia wasn't a country at that time. So when it was built, it was known as Al-Maghrib. Just to clarify. After it was chopped up, okay, then it was known as Tunisia. So you're right, Tunisia, mashallah. Present day Tunisia, yes. Present day Tunisia. In 859 CE, 859, the Common Era. And the second university was Al-Azhar, the university in Egypt, in Cairo, Egypt. It's the second oldest university. And there were libraries, collections of manuscripts. And believe it or not, If it were not for the Muslims, most, if not a lot of the work that was done by the Greeks and Romans would have been lost. Because the Muslims translated a lot of that, collected it, and translated a lot of the works of the Greeks and the Romans also. And they had libraries with thousands and thousands of books, lending these books to the public. And books, they had about eight, you know, like for example, Darul Hikmah, the House of Wisdom in Cairo, known as Darul Hikmah, is used to have 18,000 books. And Al-Hakam, a library in Spain, had 400,000 books. 400,000 books. Do you know how many books that is? And we're not talking about our time. We're talking about 1,000 years ago. We're talking about the time in which most of the world hardly had any books. We had 400,000 books, libraries with 400,000 books. And Banu Ammar in Tripoli with over 1 million books. But some of these books were destroyed by the Tartars when they conquered Egypt, conquered Baghdad, and also the Crusaders when they came to Jerusalem, when they came to Gaza and Tripoli. They destroyed a lot, and the Spanish Inquisition, they burned over 1 million books in one day in Granada, which is Granada, present-day Granada. Over 1 million books. When the Christians came in, they burnt these libraries, and over 1 million books were destroyed. And every day, we use words Arabic scientists had, and words that are in Arabic every day, and we don't even realize. For example, the word coffee. Coffee, it was said that it was discovered in Ethiopia. And then from Ethiopia, it came to Yemen, and from the Muslim world, it spread through the whole world. So Starbucks and Tim Hortons, definitely also, right? Has a little bit to thank the Muslims also. Because the Muslims, when they started drinking coffee, and by the way, you know the word mocha came from, it's a city called Mocha in, it's a type of the coffee that was from Mocha. It's in Yemen. It's in Yemen. And I know that's my time. Okay, inshallah. I'll try to go quick. I have a bad reputation in Seattle. Some of you guys know already in Seattle, they say never give a woman a telephone or Ustaz Abdul Bari a microphone. That's what they say. I don't know if it's true or not, but I don't want that reputation to follow me around. The word coffee itself, qahwa, the Muslims used it when they found out that, hey, you know, as Muslims, we are urged to stand up at nighttime in prayer, to get up late at night, early morning, meaning early before pre-dawn, to stand up in prayer and supplicate to Allah when others are sleeping. And some of the Muslims realize, hey, you know, you drink some of this stuff, it really keeps you awake for your prayers. And so they use coffee to keep themselves awake so that they could pray at nighttime also. And you have words like qutn, and of course algebra, we spoke already, and sofa, al-sofa. Zarafa, giraffe is an Arabic word, and magazine, al-makhzan, from Arabic, al-makhzan. And the word magazine comes from Arabic. So there are thousands and thousands of English words and Spanish words and even French words that are originally Arabic. And of course you have, like for example, almanac. Almanac, the word almanac is from Arabic, an Arabic word which is almanach, which is the climates. And so this is, you know, it's a collection of the weather and climate and so forth. And so all around us we use Arabic words. And in the Muslim world, when Europe was in the Dark Ages, Muslims had cities like the city of Cordoba, which we just mentioned a few minutes ago. The city of Cordoba, 1,000 years ago, had street lights. Not only did it have street lights, it had paved roads. And this was a time in which Paris and London had 25,000 inhabitants. There were 1 million inhabitants in Cordoba, and they had garbage collectors that collected garbage in the streets and from the people's houses every single day. And because Muslims are urged, not only urged, it's mandatory. It's mandatory, which means you are in sin if you don't seek knowledge. The literacy rate in Cordoba was 100%. 100%. Because everybody has to know how to read and write. Everyone has to be educated. 50 hospitals, 80 schools, and all the schools had free education. And if you have that many people together, they better be clean. 900 baths around the city to clean yourself so that you won't have infections and people, dirty people walking around the streets. And Islam, of course, orders us to be clean. And that's why when we are in the bathroom, it's a complete way of life. In order to apply that life, we have to have some of these amenities to keep ourselves clean, because cleanliness is part of faith. And even when we eat with our right hand, but we never clean ourselves with our right hand. And so, you know, you see some of these signs that you have to wash your hands. We don't just wash our hands once in a while. We wash our hands not only 5 times a day, but every time you make wudu, how many times do you wash your hands? You wash it a whole bunch of times also. You put, you're washing it, right? And every limb is also 3 times. Your face is 3 times. And that is why I remember one day I was on the plane, and this, I was taking some pilgrims, and they were, unfortunately, they did not, you know, they weren't, this is something they weren't supposed to do, but I told them to take showers before they put on the ihram, because that's one of the, you know, one of the pilgrim garments that they had to put on. And so the person who, some of the Muslims were actually taking, they were like rinsing themselves and taking showers literally in the airplane bathrooms. And you know, the airplane bathrooms are not made for you to take showers in, so there's a lot of water. And so the stewardess comes to me and is telling me, this, I'm taking them from Cambodia and Vietnam. These are people from like really, I mean, they've never been on a plane before, never been in a hotel room before. They don't even have locks in their houses, and like we know right now, as we know it. They're from the villages. And so this person is like cleaning himself, and the place is all dirty, and I'm telling him to, you know, you got to make an announcement, don't do that. And so the stewardess comes and is telling, what are you doing to this man in the bathroom? And then he goes like this, he puts his feet on the sink, and she says, that's disgusting. And he looks at her and says, you're disgusting. He says, how many times do you wash your face a day? And she says, about 2 or 3 times a day. Well, I wash my feet 5 times a day at least. My feet are cleaner than your face. I'm not saying that that's what she'd be saying, but we are ordered to be clean. 500 baths, or 900 baths in Cordoba. And these were the cities, Muslim civilizations and cities that when the Spanish Inquisition came, destroyed. And you can, if you go to Spain, some of these churches that you will see massive structure of architecture that will amaze you. A civilization that has been forgotten by non-Muslims, but fortunately, unfortunately, also by Muslims. And so, why do we need to know? So that we can tell our governments that this was our tradition. We have neglected it. Why are we not taking care of our universities? Why are we not paying our professors? Why are we not paying for research? Why do we not have the best universities in the Muslim world? Because that's what we're taught to do. And the Renaissance, or the Renaissance, was the basis of the Industrial Revolution, which is the basis of modern society as we know it now, with technology and so forth. But the basis for the Renaissance was the Muslim scholars, the Muslim inventions, the Muslim schools, and the knowledge that the Muslims passed on to the world and contributed to modern society, that we have forgotten, or it was made forgotten or neglected. And so why are we ordered to do this, to do such things? It's the first and foremost. The reason is because when God created us, He created us to worship Him. And worship in Islam is doing anything that's pleasing to God. And part of that which is pleasing to God is us reflecting upon the heavens and the earth, and seeking knowledge is a part of our religion. And so science and Islam do not contradict. And the more you study, the more you realize that this is the word of God. For indeed, for example, I'm just going to give you two examples and you can do the rest, or you can read also. God says, فَلَا أُقَسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ, and I swear by the position of the stars. Now why doesn't God just say, I swear by the stars? When He says, I swear by the position of the stars. For those who know astronomy, sometimes we hear in the news that a supernova, a star has just exploded, that we have just seen through the Hubble telescope, that a star exploded, but you know what they say? But that star exploded X amount of million years ago, and the lights from the exploding star has just reached us now. So when you're looking at a star right now, you're not looking at the star in that position, but you're looking at the position of that star that was there before, but the light has just reached us, and God says, I swear by the position of the stars. And in archaeology, when you read the Quran, there's a story called Joseph. There's the chapter called Joseph. And in it, God speaks about how Joseph and his brothers, how the Israelites ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, and in that story, in that chapter, every time God speaks about the king of Egypt, He says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ تُونِي بِهِ وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ, and the king said, but during the time of Moses, the word Malik is not used, but Pharaoh is always used. Now why is this? When it was Egypt, why is Pharaoh used in this story and in the other story? The word Pharaoh, a king, is used. The reason, after many years of excavation and Egyptology and studying hieroglyphics and studying the history of Egypt, archaeologists and Egyptologists have found out that the time in which Joseph was in Egypt, the Egyptians did not rule Egypt. It was ruled by the Hyksos. And they were an Asiatic people that conquered Egypt, and they called their kings and not pharaohs, because the line of pharaohship was cut at that time, because it wasn't under the control of the Egyptians. And in the Quran we say, why is this the case? And then when we start digging it up, we find out, how could Prophet Muhammad in the desert know this distinguishing factor when we have just found out about it maybe 50 years ago, less than 50 years ago. And we say, wow, it's true, matches perfectly. But when you look at the Bible, That's not the case. I'm not saying we're, as Muslims, we believe in the Injil. That was revealed to Prophet, due to Prophet Moses. I mean, in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Moses. In fact, no Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus. And any Muslim who doesn't believe that Jesus will come back is not a Muslim. Any Muslim who doesn't believe in the virgin birth and doesn't believe in Mary is not a Muslim. Not a Muslim at all. But we believe that the Quran was preserved. And how is it preserved? Preserved in the hearts of men. And if you were to somehow get rid of every mushaf, every Quran in the world right now, every Quran in the world, just burn it or get rid of it or throw it in the ocean, not a single Quran is left on the face of this earth. In one gathering in any Muslim community, we would be able to bring it back immediately. Why? Because we memorize it from the beginning to the end. And in this room, even, we have people who memorize the whole of the Quran from the beginning to the end, and you cannot change one letter of it. And that's also another miracle, to see more of the miracles of the Quran. I invite you to read the Quran, which we Muslims believe is the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, you will also find that it will not contradict even what we know now and what we don't know yet, which will be proven also later on. And we'll see some of the other miracles also. It's a continuous miracle. That's why it's the greatest miracle to humanity. We Muslims consider that the greatest miracle in terms of its eloquence and also the information that it is that's in it also. And God created us, didn't create us in vain. God created us to worship Him. And how we worship Him, He tells us how to do so in the Quran and the teachings of the prophets and messengers that were revealed. During those days, during that time of Prophet Moses, he had his book, and that was it. Moses was their prophet. And later on also, there were other prophets and messengers, and they had their books to guide humanity to live the way that is most beneficial for them, because God is more merciful to us than we are merciful towards ourselves. And in order for us to progress, we also have to have technology, knowledge, and morals and manners, because when you have people who are very smart, very, very smart and intelligent, and they have no morals, they have no manners, or they have no knowing of right and wrong and good and bad and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, then you are only, the more you teach that person, the bigger the criminal you're making him. And so we have to have that go hand in hand. We can't just teach people knowledge because they don't have the virtues of the morals and etiquettes and manners and so forth, then they'll use it wrongly. And you'll see that people will start taking advantage of other people instead of using technology for the benefit of humanity. It will be used for the destruction of other people and taking advantage of other people. So modern society has lost some of that because of the spiritual aspect of it is taken away. And so you have oppression. You have people who have inventions that are very, very beneficial for humanity. But because, hey, you can't have the electric car because look at that. We got a lot of money from the petroleum companies, from the oil companies. They're going to buy this person out and say, let's not put that out, even if it benefits humanity. Because then my pockets will not be as full as it will be, as it should be. And then you're going to be driving cars in Southern California, suffering in traffic because major car companies say, we don't want public transportation to be developed so that people can buy more cars and spend more money on gas. Let them spend their time in the streets of Los Angeles. And I was stuck from, I think I was in Malibu, going to Anaheim 6 hours, and it's normally a 20-minute ride because there's not enough public transportation. You can develop all kinds of things, but when you don't have people who want to benefit humanity, benefit society, and they're only worried about their pockets, all the technology in the world does not really benefit everyone. And so we need religion and technology and science to go hand in hand, to have humans help each other and benefit from each other, to teach what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. And that's what Islam teaches us. And that's how Islam built the civilization before. So we ask, so I'd like to end it with that, and we ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and benefit us from that which He has taught us. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.